Digital health passports are not a conspiracy theory. They are about to become a reality.
Folks, we've been warning you here on this program for over a year now about a deep state power grab through the World Health Organization to basically consolidate global control over not just health, but everything using the World Health Organization. And how do I know it's everything? Well, because they've told us that climate change is a global health emergency. Racism is a health emergency. Gun violence is a health emergency. Literally everything is a health emergency if you take these globalist totalitarian deep staters seriously.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with journalist and author Alex Newman. Why are the globalists using health to unite the world? What should we be looking for as global health schemes increase? Is the World Health Organization suspect? Here is today's programming.
The World Health Organization and the European Union. They announced a global partnership on creating a global digital vaccine passport. So they had a joint press conference in Geneva just this week, and they announced that this month they were going to be taking up a new global system of a digital COVID-19 health certification that will establish this global system to, in their words, facilitate global mobility, which would be exactly the opposite, right? Restrict global mobility and protect citizens across the world from ongoing and future health threats, which really, phrased another way, is to ensure that we can inject them with whatever they want, et cetera. Folks, it's hard to overstate the significance of this. It's extremely dangerous. It is, in their terms, the first building block of the WHO Global Digital Health Certification Network that's going to develop, again, this is from their press release, a wide range of digital products to deliver better health for all. It's kind of like the Patriot Act, as unpatriotic as can be. They always name things the opposite of what they are.
Glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio today. And we've got a lot going on in the world of impending global government. And you hear me talking about the coming one world system frequently on Understanding the Times Radio. It's probably the most prominent end time marker we have going on a daily news and information basis. And whoever would have thought that global government might be based on health and the World Health Organization? I never suspected that. Well, that is until we saw how COVID was handled in the last 3.5 years. I have analyzed this previously on this program with Michelle Bachmann twice, if not three times, so this will be an update. And now we have a digital health certificate or passport that is going global. May not be in America yet, but it's probably around the corner. What does that mean for you and for those you love? The United Nations continues to be the driver of global efforts. Will this form the coming one world system under the Antichrist, the UN, the World Economic Forum, etc.? So my guest today is Alex Newman. He tracks the rush to one worldism. He also heads Liberty Sentinel Media. He is an award-winning international journalist, educator, author, and speaker. He's author of many books. Most recent, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. Alex, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Jan. It's an honor to be here.
Just a little bit off the record of what I've just announced, because the title of your newest book, which we're going to carry by fall, we don't have it now, folks, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. I'm just distracted by that for a moment because I'm curious to know if you could summarize who is the invisible government behind the scenes, because I don't think it's Mr. Biden.
There's been some interesting things with Joe Biden that suggest that. I'm sure people remember the press conference where he was talking and then he said, I can't take any more questions. They're going to be mad at me. Who's going to be mad at you? What do you mean? You're the president of the United States. That's a very bizarre statement. But he actually gave us a very interesting statement. That same event at the Council on Foreign Relations, a lot of people have seen the clip where he was talking about how he used American money to get the chief prosecutor in Ukraine fired, who just so happened to be looking into Burisma Holdings, where his son was sitting on the board at $50,000 a month. And the very beginning of that, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations introduces himself. He says, hi, I'm Richard Haass. I work here at the Council on Foreign Relations. And Joe Biden chimes in and he says, and I work for Richard, which, you know, was a very interesting statement. And so this term deep state really became popular in about 2016. Donald Trump started using it. Virtually all Americans understood that we have a deep state as it was defined by the pollsters. In other words, forces behind the scenes trying to set policy beyond the reach of the elected government that we see.
that's an okay working definition. But in the book, I take it a step further and I talk about the organizations that are behind that deep state, organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations. Hillary Clinton famously admitted that she gets her marching orders from there. I've got the video. She says that it's great that you guys have an office here in Washington, D.C. Now I won't have to go as far to be told what we should be doing and how I should think about the future. And of course, this is not to pick on Democrats. Plenty of Republicans are involved with this. Dick Cheney used to be on their board of directors. And so there's this whole constellation of very powerful organizations. Some of them have websites and they put out press releases, although you really don't get a sense of everything that they're doing. And then there are some that are actually secret in the true sense. It's known that they exist. They have headquarters, but it's not like they're putting out press releases about what they're doing. So I try to break all those down in the book, CFR being one of them. But then you have the Bilderberg, Skull and Bones, the Trilateral Commission, the World Economic Forum. I look at as more of a front group to promote these agendas. But ultimately, the Bible is where we need to go for answers on this. And so that's what I do in the book. I point out that the Apostle Paul explains very clearly in Ephesians chapter 6, the nature of the conflict that we find ourselves in. He explains that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not George Soros or Bill Gates or Joe Biden. Really, we're talking here about powers and principalities, the spiritual forces of darkness and wickedness in high places. This is from the pit of hell. And ultimately, when people ask me, well, who's they? Who's running this? The simplest answer is their commander-in-chief is Satan. And that is what the Bible teaches very clearly throughout Scripture. In 1 John chapter 5, we read that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The Apostle Paul repeatedly refers to Satan as the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. And so I think as Christians, even though unfortunately a lot of our pulpits are not articulating this clearly, we do need to understand that there is a spiritual conflict raging all around us, and Satan is very active. He's going about like a lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's got a lot of minions, some wittingly, some unwittingly, doing his bidding.
You can find this book, and the book is not our topic, folks, but I got distracted by the intrigue of the title that leaped out at me, Deep State, the Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. You can find that at libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org. We're not carrying it at this time, but I can tell extremely cutting edge. Anything talking about World Economic Forum, Bilderbergers, CFR, etc., that's the shadow government, folks. Now, what I do want to do is go on to my previously announced subject matter. Again, we've got one world government forming almost before our eyes. Alex Newman, does it surprise you at all that healthcare could be the issue to unite the world?
It doesn't surprise me, Jan, because socialists and communists have understood for a century now how useful healthcare can be. Healthcare is one of those things that impacts every one of us. There's not one person on this planet who doesn't, at some point in their lives, repeatedly intersect with the healthcare system, whether that be you're getting sick, you broke a bone, you got cancer, you got some virus. All of us come to depend on the healthcare system at some point in our lives. And when you look at the way that they define health emergencies, you see that this really touches far more than just things that we traditionally associate with healthcare. I was in Egypt a few months ago for the UN Climate Summit, the COP27. The head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, comes out and he says that climate change is a public health emergency. Right? And we've seen political leaders here in the United States saying that gun violence is a public health emergency and racism is a public health emergency. And they tell you that if you're going to be using the healthcare system, you can't just be eating whatever you want. You can't just be living your life the way you want. We have to micromanage all those things. So healthcare is such an all-encompassing topic that it really works very well as a pretext for those who want to control every element of your life. That's why totalitarians have used it so successfully over the last 100 years.
I'm quoting you here. You refer to a sovereignty coalition. Some who represent the sovereignty coalition would include Naomi Wolf, Eagle Forum, Liberty Council, Act for America, some representatives, Ronnie Jackson, Andy Biggs, Chip Roy, Lauren Boebert, Frank Gaffney, intelligence aficionado, some state governors. But you say this, critics are working on ways to fight back against World Health Organization and their efforts. And then you identify the Sovereignty Coalition, formed to fight the WHO assault on self-government, brings together a broad alliance of conservative leaders, organizations, and lawmakers united in an effort to preserve and restore national sovereignty. In fact, the coalition is calling for an American exit from the WHO entirely. And by the way, I wish they would have turned up at the meeting in Switzerland back in May. I don't believe there were any representatives from Washington present. And then you say, Alex, signatories include hundreds of America's most prominent conservative leaders, as well as doctors, etc. Let me just play a clip where some of them are speaking on behalf of you and me.
They go on to say in this press release, folks, this is a brilliant press release. They say that given the WHO's appalling record, it is outrageous that the Biden administration is working to give the WHO and its director general more power over sovereign nations, including the United States. Yet the U.S. government officials are actively negotiating amendments to existing international health regulations and a new treaty governing future pandemic health emergencies of international concern, ironically called FAKE, P-H-E-I-C. These accords would effectively repose in Dr. Tedros the authority to unilaterally dictate what constitutes an actual or a potential fake and to order how affected nations must respond. Another big part of this, folks, we warned you about this several times. They're working now on developing a global system to monitor and regulate travel. They don't want you to be able to move unless you have had all of your vaccines. They actually agreed, the G20 governments agreed to this in Indonesia late last year. Joe Biden was there, and so were many others. Klaus Schwab, the dictator wannabe running the World Economic Forum. I'm going to show you a clip of the Indonesian health minister talking about this in just a moment. But folks, this is what they're working on right now. Listen to this Indonesian health minister.
Acknowledged by WHO, if you have been vaccinated or tested properly, then you can move around.
All righty, folks. So there you have it. They don't want you to be able to move unless you do whatever the WHO says. They don't want you to cross borders, even leave your 15-minute city. It's hard to overstate the dangers of this, folks. But don't worry, it can be stopped. Right now, there's several options. I want to show you a couple of the members of Congress who spoke out about this during the Sovereignty Coalition press conference.
My colleagues behind me are here is to call attention to something that is very serious and threatens this country.
The World Health Organization is a corrupt organization. They're nothing more than a puppet for the Chinese government.
Article 10 of the treaty says the U.S. would be obligated to provide 20% of our medical supplies.
The United States has donated billions of taxpayer dollars.
Why the heck are we even funding them in the first place? The United States is their largest contributor.
The reality is that international law does not trump our Constitution. Biden cannot force Americans to follow laws and regulations not passed by our own federal government, and we will not tolerate and stand for this America Last agenda.
The Biden administration, honestly, I don't think they could pour water out of a boot if the instructions were written on the dadgum heel.
This is what Director General Tedros did. He's how he responded to the CCP's cover-up by praising the CCP for their transparency, despite internal documents showing who frustration with the CCP's failure to share critical data and information about the virus.
The communist Chinese government hid what was going on at that Wuhan lab. We have to get answers to that.
President Trump stood up to China, left the WHO, and restored American sovereignty. President Biden was quick to rejoin as soon as he took office because he is beholden to China.
If we continue to bow to globalist organizations who don't act in the interest of our own country, we will continue to be hurt.
Unelected foreigners with legislative power over American citizens would have our founders rolling in their graves.
This is not about public health. The WHO made it very clear they will censor anyone who does not agree with their agenda to control every aspect of people's lives. Under this plan, the Biden administration is adopting Marxism by distributing medicine based on equity. This is not what a constitutional republic looks like. This is a dictatorship, and we must defund the WHO and stop this radical agenda being put forward by the Biden administration.
The World Health Organization is the lapdog for the Chinese Communist Party, and they echoed every single lie of the CCP.
There is a section on surveillance, detailed surveillance of people, plants, animals, and the environment, and also censorship, censoring, canceling anyone who disagrees with their narrative. How will they enforce it? They could enforce it the way that it was enforced in Canada, by simply cutting people off from their credit cards and their bank accounts. That's a good way to silence dissent.
In our country, we want to have as many decisions as possible made at the state and local level, right? President Biden's going the opposite way. It's important, however, for the press to educate the public what's at stake here.
We the people run this thing, so you should make your decisions with you and your family and your doctor regarding your business and your home, your interaction, whether or not you want to maintain personal interactions during a pandemic, whether your kid can go to school, etc. If you want to get a vax, get it. If you don't, don't. That's called freedom. The World Health Organization shouldn't have zero impact regarding my freedom and yours.
So that's huge, folks. Now, the Republicans control the House of Representatives. The budget deals are happening right now. Republicans in Congress could just say no money for the WHO, no money to enforce anything from the WHO, no money to participate in anything that the WHO is doing. And it would bring a stop to all this. All of Biden's crying, all the fake media whining could not do one thing to extract that money from the American people if the House of Representatives won't go along with it. So one thing you could do right now is call up your member of Congress and ask them, what is going on? Why is there even the consideration that we might allow funding for this monstrosity?
Okay, Alex Newman, that was a clip you provided. I mean, as long as a leftist is in power, at least in the White House, I'm not sure much can be changed. Give me your thoughts.
Our founders who established our system of government were very wise, and they went way out of their way to make sure that one individual or even one branch of government would not have the authority to act unilaterally on important issues like this. Right now, we have a situation where the Biden administration is playing a game of chicken with the American people and with our elected representatives. They are acting like there's nothing that can be done to stop them. One very obvious piece of evidence pointing toward this is the name change. Originally, they were calling one of these lines of attack the International Pandemic Treaty. They've now rebranded it because, of course, a treaty, as anybody who's read their constitution knows, requires ratification. It requires the advice and consent of the Senate, whereby two-thirds of the U.S. senators present have to approve of this for it to be considered binding. They know very well they're not going to get two-thirds of the U.S. Senate. So now they've reframed it as an accord, which, of course, you don't find the term accord in the Constitution. This is the same strategy that Barack Obama used in 2015. He knew he was not going to get the Paris Agreement through the U.S. Senate, and so he just said, it's an executive agreement. We don't need the U.S. Senate. This is ludicrous. There are no provisions for executive agreements or international accords in the Constitution that the president can negotiate unilaterally. So all that really would need to happen to stop this is for the U.S. House of Representatives to say, we're not giving you any more money to do this. We're not giving the World Health Organization any more money. The Senate could say the same thing. If they stop the money, the whole thing stops. But even if they could get this ratified by the Senate, it still would not be constitutionally valid. And these questions came up. I mean, if people go back and read the Federalist Papers, they can peer into the minds of the men who wrote these documents. The idea that the executive branch could just create any treaty and assume new powers is flatly contradicted by the writings of the founding fathers, including Thomas Jefferson, who's widely regarded as the architect of the Declaration of Independence, and of course, one of the key players in the documents that followed. And the Supreme Court has upheld this as recently as 1957, when they ruled in Reed versus Covert that the U.S. government could not assume new powers merely by ratifying and approving a treaty. Constitutionally speaking, these efforts that Joe Biden is engaged in, that the administration is engaged in, are flatly unconstitutional. But that doesn't mean they won't get away with it. Unfortunately, Americans are very ignorant when it comes to the way our government is supposed to operate. So if the Republicans in the House of Representatives don't stand up, this will go through. And that's the situation that we're facing right now.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Alex Newman. You can learn much more at libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org. Alex, I want to just play a clip of you, because here you indicate that Mr. Tedros will literally become a global health dictator, which I find to be a very shocking and yet very truthful statement by you.
This is really important to understand. When they talk about a conference of the parties, when they talk about a framework convention, this is a mechanism that I have been tracking for well over a decade. This is what they're using for the climate front. They set up a framework convention on climate change, where every year they have an annual conference of the parties. In fact, we did a live show from the 27th annual conference of the parties in Egypt just a few months ago, where John Kerry pled guilty on behalf of America for every problem everywhere having to do with weather, fire, not enough rain, etc. Folks, this is what they want to do with the health system, because once they've got this framework convention, once they've got this conference of the parties system, they can just keep building on it and building on it every year. They'll put a new program in over here, a new fund over there, a new regulation over here. Pretty soon you wake up and you have a global biomedical police state telling you what medicines, what injections you must or may not take. This is very, very dangerous, folks. This framework convention can add these new protocols without any consent from our government, from we the people. It's just absolutely terrifying what they're up to. And so, folks, just like the climate scam, they will continue to make progress on this unless and until the American people people say enough. At the same time, they're working on these new international health regulations. They developed some new ones that they're trying to push through. They're developing new ones as we speak. These regulations would completely undermine self-government, national sovereignty, individual liberty, basically turning Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, the former communist terrorist, actually leader of a communist terrorist movement in Ethiopia, into a global health dictator.
Alex, how do we push back? You've already said call our congressmen. It's a lot of states, including my home state, Minnesota. They're all radical leftists. They honestly care less what the people think. How do we stop this?
For sure, the first and easiest alternative would be to get the Republicans in the House of Representatives to defund this whole process. I have spoken with several Republican members of Congress who've indicated a desire to do so. But as I understand it, McCarthy is not quite ready for that. And it's almost guaranteed what will happen. If the Republicans try to defund the WHO, Joe Biden and the media will say that Republicans are terrorists. They're shutting down the government and babies aren't going to be able to get the food that they need and our soldiers aren't going to get their pay. So there will make a major drama to try to paint Republicans as dangerous fanatics. And unfortunately, we have seen time and time again that works. Even on issues that should be very simple for Republicans, like not funding Planned Parenthood, they keep caving over and over again. As the Bible tells us, we're not going to trust in men. We're not going to trust in princes. We need to trust in the Lord. But we do also have mechanisms at the state and the local level, which can be very powerful for resisting this. One of the individuals I spoke with, state representative in South Carolina, is Josiah Magnuson. He introduced a bill that if you are a state legislator, if you know a state legislator, you need to read this bill, especially if you live in a Republican state, you need to get this introduced in your legislature. I know a lot of the legislatures have wrapped up their session this year, but next year is another perfect opportunity for those legislatures that will be meeting. And it's a very simple bill. What it says is that no government employee, state or local, no government resources, no government buildings, vehicles, etc., may be used to enforce or participate in the enforcement of any directive or decree or mandate or policy originating with the World Health Organization, even if that's routed down through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, through the CDC or whatever agency may be used to try to impose this. So that wouldn't stop enforcement per se at the federal level, but it would protect the people of that state. The federal government does have millions of people on their payroll, but they don't have enough people to really enforce this nationwide. And so that's why they have depended for many, many years now, at least going back to the Great Society and FDR, on the ability to hijack and use state and local government agencies. Now, we've had numerous pieces of litigation on this. A number of sheriffs actually sued the Clinton administration over gun control and landmark precedent. This was in the early 1990s. Once again, declaring the obvious fact that state and local governments do not work for the federal government. What they articulated in this case, it was called Prince versus United States, was what's known as the anti-commandeering doctrine. So even if these policies were found to be constitutional, which of course they're not, state and local governments can refuse to participate in the enforcement. So if your sheriff says, that's not going to happen in my county, anybody who comes in here and tries to say hypothetically the WHO mandates vaccinations for people, the sheriff could say, no, anybody who comes in here and tries to violate the rights of my constituents in that manner is going to be arrested. I've already talked to the local prosecutors. We will be prosecuting. State governments can say nobody will be allowed to enforce those things in our state, and they certainly will not be allowed to use our state resources to participate in the enforcement of that. Right now, the majority of states in this country are in solid Republican hands, as in both houses of the legislature and the governor's office are controlled by Republicans. All it would take is 10 or 20 Republican states saying, we're not going to allow that. And a lot of people have already said that. The governor of my state, Ron DeSantis, has already said, we are not going to participate in this. In fact, we've already banned vaccine passports. We've banned CBDCs. So a lot of these things are happening at the state level. You're not hearing about it from the media, but this is something that everybody can get involved in. Call up your state representative, call up your state senator, ask for a meeting, show them this bill that was introduced in South Carolina, see if they'd be willing to introduce one in your state. Now, that may not work in Minnesota, that may not work in California, but if you're in Tennessee, if you're in Oklahoma, if you're in Montana or Idaho, there's a lot of public pressure resisting this. And if we have enough states stand up and say we won't accept that, the whole thing can fall by the wayside.
Here's my concern, and I'm sure you're more than aware of it, but another health crisis is going to come along, whether it's manufactured or whether it's legitimate, and that's going to play into the hands of these globalist World Health Organization people. Am I right here? This is what I'm assuming is going to happen.
I think you're absolutely right, Jen. And they've already given us some indications of where they think they're going to be going. We had the former CDC director talking about the next big one is going to be the bird flu that's going to kill, he said, between 10 and 50% of the people who get infected. We know that there are laboratories all over the world, including many funded by the U.S. government, including laboratories in China, like the Wuhan laboratory, that are working on creating these weaponized viruses and pathogens. So there's a great risk that they'll unleash another event very similar to COVID. And there are other mechanisms that they can use as well. One of the things that Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, discussed was the possibility of a cyber pandemic that would make the COVID pandemic look very mild by comparison. But I do think that enough people are paying attention now after COVID that they're going to have a lot more difficulty trying to sell that again. The initial fear takes hold of people when you start seeing horrible images on TV and the hospitals are flooded and people are thinking, oh, I'm going to die, especially for non-Christians. So there is a great danger of that. They also are using the climate change thing. And in fact, we saw almost a seamless transition where they said, hey, the lockdowns worked great for COVID. Why don't we do those for climate change? They've got multiple avenues of attack that they are using. And I do suspect that we could see another pandemic. Bill Gates has talked about this publicly. He says the way to protect ourselves is to do what Australia did, which was become totalitarian, build massive quarantine camps for citizens, forcibly vaccinate people, beat up pregnant women in the street for not wearing masks. This is barbaric.
Folks, I'm talking to Alex Newman, libertysentinel.org, and I'm going to transition a little bit into global health digital certificates or passports. This was announced in Europe on June 5th, and it's designed to strengthen health security. They want you to feel secure, folks, in your health. It's also called a network, global health digital certificates, passports, global health digital network. These are terms you're going to hear launched in Europe June 5th. When I come back, I want to play a clip of Michelle Bachmann. You've heard her on this program talking about these things. She'll be with me in another 4 or 5 weeks as well. But in the meantime, I brought on Alex Newman to keep us up to date on what I think is a couple of the most stunning developments as it concerns health, as it concerns monitoring us. Right now, really blossoming in Europe, trying to get to the shores of America, I believe, any day. So we'll proceed with our discussion with Alex Newman in just a moment or two. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We are pleased to carry Jeff Kinley's newest book, God's Grand Finale: Wrath, Grace, and Glory in Earth's Last Days. The Bible's last book is God's final word to mankind and the breathtaking revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation describes depravity, devils, and destruction. It also provides an incredible portrait of our Almighty God, delivering profound insights into who He really is. This book will help you experience how God uses the apocalyptic realities of Revelation to reveal Himself to you. When the dust of Revelation settles, we behold the Lamb standing and ruling in triumphant, sovereign, and indescribable glory. Find this uplifting new book by Jeff Kinley, God's Grand Finale: Wrath, Grace, and Glory in Earth's Last Days, in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can also call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can order by mail for just $12. We charge no shipping in the U.S. or Canada.
Don't be fearful. The appropriate response is to say, wow, this is more than I can deal with on my own. I need to turn to the one who created me, to the one who is ultimately sovereign over the entire universe, and to the one who warned us about everything that was coming and everything that was yet to come. That's where we can find hope. That's where we can find strength, and we can be encouraged.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video versions of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell and Alex Newman to wrap up today's programming on the coming global government.
It was just Monday of this week, 1 week after the World Health Assembly concluded, that there was an absolute bombshell press letter that went out that said the European Union has already developed a global digital passport that would regulate the ability of people to take transportation, and it would also regulate our health issues. That global digital passport, which essentially would be a QR code on your mobile phone, an individual would have to be in compliance with the mandates of the World Health Organization in order to be able to travel, in order to be able to move about. So this was announced on Monday. They didn't wait to pass amendments or pass a global treaty. They announced that the World Health Organization is adopting what Europe came up with that already covers 80 countries out of the 194. The question is, when will the United States go into this system? Because this is how you enforce global government through this global digital passport. It is a reality. And Monday it was announced that the WHO will take over the European digital passport. And they also stated this will be the first building block, presumably merging digital currency, digital health records. Our entire life will eventually be merged onto this digital QR code. And they said the effective date is June of 2023. In other words, right now. This global digital passport is effective now. It won't be a year from now. Our lives will be completely upended, absent a miracle or an intervening hand from the Lord. We're looking at less than a year at this point of having this full digital passport enforced and actually out in play for everyone in the world. So it's envisioned, it's created, it's a matter of getting everyone on board.
That was Michelle Bachman on the Christ and Prophecy television program with Tim Moore. You've heard her on my program talking about what we're talking about today. The problem is the scenario that was outlined actually by Michelle back in 22 and further developed about 5-6 weeks ago on this program here in 2023 is just rapidly evolving. I have on the line for the hour today Alex Newman. He tracks the rush to the One World system very effectively. He also heads Liberty Sentinel Media. He's an award-winning international journalist, educator, author, and speaker. We discussed first part of the program his newest book, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. You can find that at libertysentinel.org. I'm going to talk to him about that in detail this fall. And Alex, we played that clip there of Michelle, and when is it going to hit the shores of the U.S.? We're uncertain about that, but all of this you're talking about, I'm talking about, Michelle Bachman is talking about, it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it's reality.
It is, Jan. They've been preparing for this for a very long time. They want people to think that this is all a response to what just happened with COVID. That is demonstrably untrue. These very same people have been shilling for this agenda publicly for over a decade. And there are several agendas here that are all working together. And I think a lot of people haven't realized yet that they're all part of the same agenda. But the effort to eliminate cash is a critical part of this, because a lot of us are not going to be willing to carry these digital IDs. But they ultimately want to create a system where you will not be able to buy or sell if you won't participate in this system. And the infrastructure has already been laid down. That was one of the big takeaways from COVID, is that virtually every business of any significance installed all of the hardware and software systems that would be necessary to prevent people from buying or selling if they won't participate in this. And you still see this to this day in grocery stores across Europe, even in some parts of the United States. You can't get in if you don't scan your little QR code. For people like me who don't have a smartphone, life is going to become increasingly difficult.
It's true.
And what they want to do with this, the digital IDs, the health stuff, people think, well, I've already got my 25 COVID boosters, so I'm not worried about this. If you think it's going to stop at the 25 COVID boosters, you're not paying attention. What they're trying to do here, and they're using Communist China as the pilot program, is ultimately create a dossier on every single person on the planet. And in China, they call it the social credit system. It's a complex formula, but they're basically taking all of this different data from different parts of your life, including how loyal and submissive you are to the communist dictatorship. Do you have friends who maybe ask questions they shouldn't be asking on social media? Well, that'll give you a worse social credit score. They want to combine all of that together so that you can't access your healthcare, so that you can't go shopping, so that you can't participate in society unless you are behaving yourself, unless you've taken whatever vaccines the government thinks you need to take, unless you've signed your children up for whatever programs they think your children need to be signed up for. They're building the infrastructure of absolute tyranny. They've put out public websites on this. The Better Than Cash Alliance was formed over a decade ago, where Bill Gates and the Rockefellers, Microsoft, etc., publicly said they want to do away with cash. They also got the ID 2020, and this was many, many years ago, where they said we need to move over to digital IDs. We've got multiple states in the United States that are already running pilot programs on this, including some conservative ones. And when you connect the dots, you see they're building an infrastructure for a totalitarian system that will ultimately envelop every single area of your life.
Some of the media is talking about this. This is a little news bulletin that I grabbed online.
The collaboration between the World Health Organization and the European Union was announced during a joint press conference in Geneva on June 5. The purpose of this collaboration is to establish a global system of digital vaccine passports based on the EU's digital COVID-19 certification system. The intention behind this global system is to facilitate international travel and safeguard individuals worldwide against current and future health threats, including pandemics. According to the WHO press release, this initiative serves as the initial step in the development of the WHO Global Digital Health Certification Network, which aims to create a variety of digital solutions to enhance healthcare for everyone. The COVID-19 pandemic highlighted the value of digital health solutions in facilitating access to health services, WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus said during the press conference. While the emergency phase of the COVID-19 pandemic is now over, investment in digital infrastructure remains an important resource for health systems and for economies and societies at large. The WHO has stated that they will use the EU Digital COVID Certificate as a model to establish a global digital health certificate.
Alex, the announcer there emphasized to enhance healthcare for everyone. They really don't care about healthcare, do they?
They don't. We see this so clearly in Canada, which is a few steps ahead of us, where they are now encouraging people to kill themselves with the assistance from the government. We're even talking children. We've seen children euthanized in the Netherlands. In Canada, they're calling it the Medical Assistance in Dying program. We've now got multiple American states. And what they're saying is, you've lived a long life. Yes. And you really need to use all this public money for your healthcare. Why don't you just do the right thing and just kill yourself? If they were interested in a healthy population, the governments would be doing very different things. What this is a mechanism for control. There's even another aspect that is very esoteric and very troubling, and that is genetic manipulation. And it's right at the heart of what's happening with the World Health Organization. If you read the latest draft of the International Pandemic Accord that they're working on, they're calling it the Bureau Text, what you'll find is multiple references to genetic material and to biodiversity. So this is something they've been working on for decades. When they talk about preserving biodiversity, naturally, we think of, well, they want to preserve endangered species and they want to make sure that whales don't go extinct. But you don't even have to read between the lines to see what they're really up to. They want to gather the genetic material of every living organism in the world, put it in databases. And they say this very clearly in the latest draft of the agreement. They want to commercialize this. They want to license it to biopharmaceutical and biotechnology companies. They're already manipulating the genetic code of all sorts of different organisms, everything from the crops that we grow to the livestock that we eat, to now they want to do humans. Bill Gates has been very public about this. The first strong endorsement I saw from him of genetically engineering people was well over 5 years ago in the Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. He called it gene editing for good. And it's mostly focused on genetically engineering our crops and our livestock. But he does say in there that we need to start considering genetically engineering our children. He paints it in this nice language about we're going to prevent diseases. There's a really troubling element here. As a Christian, I believe that God wrote my genetic code. And I believe that God knew what he was doing when in his sovereign power, he wrote my genetic code. I wouldn't trust Bill Gates to create a computer program, much less to edit the genetic code that God gave me. So when you take all this together and you look at the mRNA technologies, you look at the CRISPR technologies for genetic modification, there's a whole nother layer to this that I think should trouble all of us, regardless of where you're at on the political spectrum, and even regardless of where you're at in your walk with the Lord. These things are something that should trouble every person alive.
Talked to Alex Newman, and we've moved on here to Global Health Digital Certificates or Passports, sometimes called a network. It's hit 80 countries or territories connected to the EU. It's trying to make its way to America. You heard a clip part one where number of representatives in Washington are saying, stop the madness. And that's what this hour is about as well. Mark Hitchcock writes a fascinating article. Let me read a few paragraphs. You hear Dr. Mark Hitchcock on this program very often. He's been at a number of my conferences. About this topic, Dr. Hitchcock writes, when COVID-19 erupted and raced around the planet, the global elite seized the opportunity to issue heavy-handed mandates, shutdowns, lockdowns, etc., draconian directives. It was the greatest power grab in history. The world is still dealing with the aftermath. Hitchcock goes on to say, at the core of it all was the International World Health Organization, WHO, and the U.S.-based Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Their weekly updates and edicts gave governments, businesses, and corporations perceived justification to issue all kinds of restrictions on freedom. For the globalists, COVID was a perfect storm, a warm-up for the next crisis, a dress rehearsal for their satanic strategy to control the international economy and levers of political power. Their desire for global control was only the beginning. And then Mark summarizes, he says, as expected, they're taking a major next incremental step to extend and expand their control. It's already being called historic and a landmark. The WHO website also announced the new certificate, quote, with 80 countries and territories connected to the EU digital COVID-19 certificate, the EU has set a global standard. The EU certificate has not only been an important tool in our fight against the pandemic, but also has facilitated international travel and tourism. He concludes, the WHO claims this will be progressively developed in the coming months. Notice it's called a global standard, Mark Hitchcock says, and is related to travel and tourism. Also notice the repetition of the words globe and global. In the quotes above, the elites want to maximize the framework and the technologies created for COVID to cement their control over international travel and buying and selling. Alex Newman, it does sort of leap out of the Bible.
It really does. For people who are looking at all this, wondering what in the world is going on, what you really need to do is open up your Bible, because that's where you'll find the ultimate answers to what we're dealing with here. And that's also where you'll find encouragement, because to try to walk through what humanity is dealing with right now without the knowledge and the hope that God and His Word provide would be not just unimaginably difficult, but almost impossible. How would you retain your sanity in the face of all this evil running wild without knowing that God is ultimately on the throne, that God has it all under control, and that God is going to ultimately crush evil? That may not happen tomorrow, but I do encourage people, if there's one takeaway that you get from all of this, don't be fearful. The appropriate response is to say, wow, this is more than I can deal with on my own. I need to turn to the one who created me, to the one who is ultimately sovereign over the entire universe, and to the one who warned us about everything that was coming and everything that was yet to come. That's where we can find hope. That's where we can find strength. And we can be encouraged, because we know that by the time this is all said and done, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. I know it looks overwhelming. I know it looks like Satan is running totally wild. But go to the scriptures, because that's where you'll read what you most need to understand about all of this.
Thank you for that, Alex. Again, you can reach Alex Newman at libertysentinel.org, libertysentinel.org, and he's got dozens of not just videos, which are fascinating, articles as well, news and information. I'm going to read two more paragraphs by Mark Hitchcock, and he titles this part of his article, The Antichrist's Looming Empire. And Mark summarizes what we've been talking about. He says, the association of this global effort with the European Commission is prophetically significant. According to Daniel 2 and 7, the Antichrist will rise from a reunited, reconstituted Roman Empire. The empire will begin under the leadership of 10 rulers or leaders represented by the 10 toes of the image in Daniel 2 and the 10 horns of the fourth beast in Daniel 7, and I like to refer to them as the G10. And then Mark Hitchcock concludes, The heart of the ancient Roman Empire is Europe. The Antichrist will arise from the region of the G10 and will take control of a reunited Roman Empire and will ultimately launch his global kingdom. Many prophecy teachers have identified the EU and the European Commission as the embryonic form of the final empire of the Antichrist. The collaboration between the EU, the European Commission, and the WHO is a preview and a build-up to the digital technology the Antichrist will employ and expand to establish his world government, world economy, and 666 system. Mark concludes, yes, the Antichrist is coming, but don't forget, Jesus is coming first. Praise God, we're looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Alex Newman, I guess we could sum this up by saying, this is truly all about control. And I think in the last 10 to 20 years, just about everything we see, we could say that throughout history, but it accelerated in the last 10 to 20 years, is all about control.
Yes, it is. And ultimately, Satan wants to take as many souls as possible to hell. Satan wants to destroy humanity. Satan wants to destroy individual human beings. Of course, we are made in the image of God. And of course, Satan is powerless to attack God himself. And so he goes for people made in the image of God. And what we see here is a satanic plot. I think it's important for people to realize that there's myths and misinformation, that these are just people with bad ideas, people with different political opinions on how we should deal with pandemics. And we need to throw all that out the window. That is worldly thinking. That is false thinking. What we're dealing with here is a plot from the pit of hell designed to destroy you and to destroy your family and to destroy the church and to destroy humanity itself and to really overturn everything that God has ordained. And we know ultimately, over the long term, this will fail. Satan is not going to succeed in all of his plans. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire along with those who follow him. We need to constantly be in the Word of God, constantly be in prayer, recognizing that God was gracious to share with us what was coming. God was gracious to send the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us during these times. And he was gracious to reveal so much to us in his word so that we are not like those who are perishing, so that yes, we have comfort, we have hope, we have knowledge, we have wisdom. We don't know how every single prophecy is going to work out in every detail, but we know the big picture. And that should really be comforting to us. And it's also, Jan, a wonderful ministry opportunity. Your neighbors are incredibly confused right now. They don't know what's going on. They're being misled by the people coming to them on their television, by political leaders, by organizations like the UN, and they're looking for truth. So that's where you come in. God has called on us, his people, his adopted children, to go out and preach the gospel, to go out and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them, to teach them to obey. And this is a really good opportunity for God's people to come out and say, look, I know it looks confusing. Here's what's going on. This is in God's word. Be encouraged. That's what people are looking for right now, not just across the United States, but all over the world. So this is an incredible ministry opportunity right now. We should seize it. We should not despair. We should not fear. We should take advantage of the days that God has given us here on this earth to accomplish his purposes.
I have said on previous programs, talking about how things are accelerating, who even heard of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum 15 years ago? I know it came along in 1971, and he's certainly gained international influence in the last 50 years, but no one was tracking this until very recently. And again, just more evidence of how things are intensifying on a daily basis, because now you can hardly keep up, and I know you can hardly keep up either.
The attacks are coming from so many angles. At some point, it gets really overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I do this all day, every day. And the number of attacks, the evil, it seems like it's out of control. But when you turn to God, he'll give you a sense of peace. He'll give you a sense of comfort. He'll give you that peace and that joy that you need to go out and serve him and serve your fellow man and do the things that we've been called to do. That really is the only place for us to turn. And I'm confident that as things get darker, as the totalitarians get more unhinged, as Satan gets more ravenous and more open in what he's doing, more and more people are going to come to know the Lord. And so we should be encouraged by that, and we should be doing everything we can to facilitate that process.
Well, as you said, this is a wonderful opportunity to begin sharing about some of these eternal principles and eternal perspective. I've watched a fascinating interview of you with Curtis Bowers, and I had Curtis on just a week or two ago because I so believe in what he's doing as well. You were giving a fascinating history of the United Nations, which I'm not sure every listener is aware of how and why it even came into being back in the 1940s. And of course, it came into being because of the ravages of World War II and the fact that at that time they wanted peace at any cost. But that was one of the early efforts for globalism, a UN power grab. How do we get America out of the United Nations? We probably can't at this point.
It would be very nice if we could. We'll see what God's timing looks like. There is a bill that's been introduced in almost every Congress for 30 or 40 years, the American Sovereignty Restoration Act. It has had bipartisan support in the past. And it says that the UN Participation Act that authorized our participation in the United Nations is repealed. Our membership in the UN and all of its subsidiary organizations is hereby revoked. The headquarters of the United Nations is officially evicted from our soil. That gives them a year, if I'm not mistaken, to remove their headquarters. It also says no more American soldiers will be serving under UN command. These are all very common sense things. I think if you talk to regular mainstream Americans, they say, well, yeah, why do we need to be paying a bunch of money for a dictator's club that hates us and is constantly up to no good? Whether that will pass or not, it would be very difficult. I think it would have been more plausible during the previous administration. Right now, even if we could get it through Congress, Joe Biden would not sign that legislation. But there is and there has been for a very long time an agenda for one world government. If you go back to Genesis chapter 11, you read God told them to spread out. And they said, no, we're just going to hang out here and build this big tower. And God ended up forcing them to spread out. And he separated people into nations, tribes, and tongues. But this agenda to undermine nations and bring us all into a one world system has been with humanity for a long time. They tried after World War I with the League of Nations. They failed because the U.S. Senate wouldn't participate. But then after World War II, in the ashes of that horrific destruction, they got Americans on board. I mean, it wasn't just the U.N. We had the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, all these institutions of global governance. One thing that Americans should understand is that the plan was always to turn this into an apparatus of global totalitarian government. And this is very clear if you just look at the history. Alger Hiss, that's who we sent to represent us. He was a high-ranking State Department official. They loved the guy. They made him the chairman of the conference that wrote the UN Charter in San Francisco. They made him the first Secretary General of the UN. And then we threw him in federal prison because he was a spy for Joseph Stalin, who was the other big player in creating this. Even the non-communists who were involved here, like our Secretary of State at the time, John Foster Dulles, he published a book in 1950 called War or Peace, in which he very clearly articulated his vision for turning the UN into eventually what he described as a world federalist system, or in his words, a world government. And he said this was possible under the existing UN charter. It just needed to be progressively strengthened. And that's what we've witnessed to the point where the UN today is functionally the global government. They've got military forces, they've got law enforcement, they've got courts, they've got environmental bureaucracy, they've got health bureaucracy, they've got education bureaucracy. So all that's left is to just make it official. But America's not over yet. There are still a lot of opposition to this agenda. There's always the possibility that God could intervene miraculously, give us more time. Congress could pass the American Sovereignty Restoration Act. Will that happen? God knows. Praise the Lord, he's given us clear instructions on what we are to be doing, and that includes standing against evil, that includes exposing evil, that includes proclaiming the truth of God's word. And so we've got a lot to do in the time that we have remaining.
The United Nations, I think, is absolutely demonic and came along for some legitimate reasons, the aftermath of World War II. But again, they started talking back then about peace and security. So again, that leaps right out of the Bible as well. Folks, we've been tracking this hour, the rush again to the one world system. I think we need to do that on a consistent basis because it's screaming at us everywhere we turn. Alex Newman, if you would like to sum up, I give you a couple minutes to do so.
I'm glad we were able to address the health component of this effort to create a one world government. It is multifaceted. Health is one of the critical tentacles of this system, but it's far from the only one. Just a week ago, Joe Biden, the administration, officially asked UNESCO to be able to rejoin. UNESCO is the UN education agency that already plays really a dominant role in education around the world. They've got the environmental apparatus, the climate change. They're now working on bringing the religions of the world together. They've been doing this for years. It's just more out in the open now. They've got their UN peace troops deployed in countries around the world. Seems like everywhere they go, they're caught systematically raping women, killing civilians. It is a demonic force. Ultimately, we should be encouraged by the fact that the battle doesn't depend on us. This power is way too powerful for us as little people. But we serve a great and mighty God. We serve the creator of the heavens and the earth, the same God of the Old Testament who dispatched one angel in 2 Kings to slaughter 185,000 enemy soldiers that had come against God's people. The same God that spoke the universe into existence is still on the throne today. So the devil can scheme, the devil can plot, his minions can scheme and plot, and they are. We see that all around us. We see the fruit of what they're doing, death and destruction and misery and broken families. But ultimately, we should rejoice. We should take this opportunity that God has given us. I mean, it's an incredible blessing that God chose to put us here in this time, in this place, with clear instructions for what we are to do. The body of Christ is one body with many members. I don't know what your particular role is. God has an assignment for you. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. He will show you where you need to be in this battle. And just remember, it doesn't depend on you. You just need to follow the instructions. Praise the Lord. He is victorious. And we should just rejoice knowing that we've been adopted into His family and that it's all going to work out for His glory in the end.
Alex Newman, thank you for all you do. I just want to go out with a couple of Bible verses. You know, folks, I use this frequently. Psalm 2, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising of vain things? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs and scoffs at them. Then He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I want to thank you for listening, folks. We will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. At 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. God knew about today's events before the beginning of time. Nothing is out of control, as He is always in control. His eye is on the sparrow, but you are engraved on the palm of His hand. Remember that the events of the day are God-ordained so that all that is predicted can fall into place.